Bill and I had driven each other crazy. Didn't really know why we were driving each other crazy. I had even accused him of hiring somebody to spy on me to know what drove me crazy, because I didn't know that he could figure it out on his own. And I said, how much did you pay this person to figure out what drives me crazy and then for you to do that? And he said, how would I do that? You know, that's just how elaborate my brain had worked, that I couldn't figure out why he just, everything he did was very opposed to what I would have done. So to learn to know what his personality was and then know what mine, well, all of a sudden the light bulb came on and we understood why we thought differently and why we felt differently about many different topics and situations. Personalities. I'm going to start with the statement, and not everybody believes all these statements, so you're going to have to take this with a grain of salt. I believe that God is all four of these personalities rolled into one. We as humans cannot be all four. If we would be all four, we would be psychotic, because there are things that are opposites. But God can be all the different personalities, and he uses those personalities at different times with different situations. All of us have all four of these personalities, but in very different measuring amounts, and God, I believe, has them equally. We have to understand that no personality is better than the others. And frequently people will tell me when they take this personality survey, they go, I don't like who I am. I don't like, this says I'm crazy, or this says I'm this, and I don't want to be this. I want to change. That's really not an option to change your whole personality. You can change parts of it. You can change from maybe your weaknesses to your strengths. But what you've been given is a God's gift. And everything, this is another statement that not everybody agrees with, but everything that God gives us is a tool that can be for good or for evil. And I do need everything that he gives us. And personality especially, you can use your personality to win other people and befriend other people, or you can use your personality to turn them off and run them away and have people not want to know anything that you know. So look at it as a tool that you are honing and that you are developing that will get better over time as you understand yourself more. Most humans only have, generally, of the scores that you take, there will be one highest score. And then, generally, the second highest score is also plays into your personality quite readily. The lower scores, the third and the fourth personalities, do not have as much influence. And it goes by strength, by how much the numbers are. It is rare that any one person has any, like, for instance, in the, let's say, the popular sanguine. It would be rare that a person would have 28 out of the 40 characteristics. That would be considered very high in just even in one. I have never seen anybody that was totally 40 points, all 40 of those personality traits all the way through. That would be very unique. So if you have above 20 in any one of them, consider that quite a strong personality, especially, you know, for your top one to be. Let's consider that personality is just one of the building blocks of who you are. All things figure into it, like, so your personality would be one thing. Your genetics, obviously, you know, what you have gotten through genetically from your parents. Your health is a big determinant in how your personality plays out, if you have poor health or good health. Manners that are taught you especially make a difference in how your personality plays out. And so it's one of those tools that makes you who you are. And it's just a matter of how you use it and how you do it. Let's go into the various different personalities. And on your sheets, I believe you have, for the powerful cleric, you have the D. And for the sanguine, you have the I. And for the phlegmatic, you have the S. And for the melancholy, you have the C. And I'm going to refer to the letters because I'm much easier at remembering that the letters than I am the words. So I will use the D, I, S, C letters to refer to those personalities. So let's start first with the popular sanguine. That's the I. And the I, if you want to remember what the letter means, it's an influencer or it's inspirational, and that's what that personality would be best known for. They are also impatient. That's another one of the I's. If they were an animal, and some people talk about these personalities when they write about them in animal terms, the otter. They're very playful, very gregarious, and obviously this is what this personality is. The popular sanguine I is very verbal, to the excess of talking too much most of the time, and to the detriment of being almost a non-worker because they are always talking. And Bill says I'm very hard on people, and I probably am, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and just take this with a grain of salt. If I'm hard on you, I'll be hard on other people too in their personalities. So these people, you can almost see them coming down the street. You know by their walk and their facial expressions, they are smilers and their hand gestures, and they are very animated and they use their bodies in everything that they do. They're generally quite, they're very happy people on the most part. When it comes to money and money management, blowing money is their favorite thing to do, and they will often do it to impress people. They will do it for the wrong reasons. They don't just, you know, they don't do it to invest. They just, it's like burning through money. It's very quick. You know, that's something that can happen. And by the way, if you've got a mate here, and I see elbows flying because that happens. I saw one lady about break her husband's ribs, and she's like, how does she know that? We just argued about it. How does she know that? You're not alone. That happens, and that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Now you're supposed to understand that this is what this personality is like. And so they have to learn to work with money and stuff. They're so optimistic that generally they think, well, it doesn't matter if we burn through this money, you know, we'll get more money, and it's just no problem. So that's where their money sense comes from. They are people impressors, and they do that with money. They do that with their actions. They a lot of do that with their possessions. You know, they buy a house to impress other people, or a vehicle to impress other people, or clothes to impress other people, rather than the practical sense that they would use that for. They fear being deprived of fun and attention. And they want both of those things very, very much. And that's what drives them. And their loss of popularity is something that would make them very sad and would be a depressing thing to them. Some of the biblical characters that are like that is Rebecca. Obviously, King David. When King David danced wildly. And sometimes he not only did it to impress, but he did it in spite of what people thought. He didn't care what his wife thought. He was out dancing in front of God, and he was called, obviously, a man after God's own heart because he did it to impress his Heavenly Father. And then Peter, it's very obvious that you can see Peter's personality. You know, he would be impetuous to do things and say things, and then later go, oh boy, I should have probably done that. You know, and that's what this personality does. When it comes to occupations in life, they are very often teachers, and they are the teachers that all of us love, because these teachers that are the eyes make it so much fun. You know, every day is fun. That's their byword for teaching younger children. Especially performers. If you go on a stage, and it doesn't matter if it's a musical stage or a acting stage, or even if it is a podium for preaching, very often this personality goes to that job. Salesman. If you are not an I and you try to be a salesman, it's probably hard to make that living, because you have to be that gregarious personality to get to know people and to make them feel warm and to make them want to spend their money, and their impetuous nature to encourage people to spend their money impetuously is all the more that works for them in being a salesman. They list the strengths and the weaknesses here. Now realize that not every strength is good and not every weakness is bad. It's just how you use it and to what degree and in what situation and stuff. But we will go through some of the weaknesses also. For the sanguine, because they are undisciplined, often we see that with money, but it is not uncommon to see this in this personality that they have extramarital affairs, because that is also an easy thing for them to do they, you know, they do it impetuously, and sexual escapades are something that comes quite naturally to them. They are unpredictable, so they're not consistent. You can see how this plays out as a mate, and you want, generally the other mate is oftentimes an opposite of them, and they're looking for consistency in this person, and that they just want it to be fun, and so they decide on the spur of the moment what to do, and the other person has no clue what's going on. Okay? As a parent, often they are too permissive, and they want to be their children's friend versus, you know, being able to make the hard decisions and to discipline their children. If they don't discipline themselves, it's rare that they would discipline their children either. They are angered easily, but with their up is another, you know, good thing. They don't remember what they were mad about 10 minutes ago. They forget it. They're on to the next thing, and, well, yeah, they were maybe mad this morning, but when they come back home and, you know, the spouse is thinking, well, they might still be mad about that, they probably even forgot they were mad. So you're kind of confused, going, okay, this person's home, and now I thought we were going to just continue this discussion, but they've forgotten all about it. They are very talkative, but also often they do not listen well. So they're waiting for their turn to talk, and that is generally how the conversation goes. They love to put themselves up to public scrutiny. So a lot of times they will go into politics, or things that are, you know, they will be the head of a committee or something like that, and they don't mind that kind of scrutiny, even though they may not think ahead what kind of problems that's going to cause for them in their life, but they don't mind doing that. Okay, that's that personality. So now on to the D, the powerful cleric. So a D, what you would associate with this personality is determined. And if you are a high D, I mean determined off the deep end. These people will move heaven and hell to get done what they want done, because it is either going to do it my way or it is the high way. That is the D personality. If this person is called an animal name, you would call them the lion. This personality is also very verbal. They are generally use their words more succinctly. They aren't as verbose. This one would use words, fewer words, but with more power behind them. They would be very to the point and very forceful. They would not talk around the subject. They hit the subject on the head and hit it once or twice, and if you don't get it, they're going on. They're not going to go back and re-explain it to you. They are very determined. They are task-oriented in that their tasks have to be done right now. They love to delegate. So in the fact that they're task-oriented, often they don't want to do the task. They want to tell you to do the task, but they want you to do it right now, and they want you to do it perfectly because they don't want to have to explain it to you again. They probably explained it to you once, and you should know what to do with it. You shouldn't have to hear it another time. They are also very stern face. If you saw them walking down the street, how they would look is they walk with purpose. You know, they look straight ahead, and their mind is generally someplace else. They're thinking of very lofty things, what they're going to do tomorrow, and the great things that they're going to do in their life, and they don't necessarily notice other people around them as much. These people have a type A stress. And by type A stress, I mean, you know, they have a high stress level in their bodies at all times. And generally, they have the diseases from these stress levels. They have heart disease. They have high blood pressure. It's not uncommon for them to get those types of things. And if they are a very high D personality, when it comes to money, they are ones that they want to have the excitement of spending a lot of money and investing a lot of money, but it's not frivolous. It's with a purpose. They are not frivolous in any way, but it's very purposeful how they do this. But even as a young executive, let's say, in a business, yes, okay, let's spend $1 million on this. You know, and most of us would just choke. You're going to spend how much on what? You know, but they love big numbers and the power behind them. They fear being out of control in any area of their life. They aren't super micromanagers, but they still want to know that what they have done has control and that they are working towards a goal, especially they're very goal-oriented people. in the Bible. The person that most exemplifies this, and I just think he's classic, is Paul, Apostle Paul. He is to the point, and he doesn't mince words, and he's, you know, he doesn't really care if it hurts your feelings. He just tells you like it is, and that's very much that personality. Solomon is also one of them, and also Sarah and Abraham. The jobs that they do are executives of big businesses, generals of armies, you know, anything that's, you know, principals of schools, that they have masters of schools, anything that has control, they are willing to go for that. They do not want to do the menial jobs. They want to be in control and up high. The challenge with a person that has a very high number in this personality is that they end up being so bossy, so unsympathetic with people, that they end up not having friends, and their family doesn't really love them. And they have an awful time dealing with how to do this. They don't have the warmth of personality to bring in their family and to have empathy and to deal with other people. So they end up quite alone people in their life. People either fear or hate them, but don't love them. They thrive on controversy, so all the more you can see what this would happen, you know, what this would do in a relationship, and how this would be a struggle to always be fighting about things. But that's what they love to do. They like to have somebody to kind of sharpen their iron, somebody to debate with. I am not sure about this, but I would say both Hitler and Napoleon were probably this personality, just because of what they tried to accomplish in their life. And you see that they were very successful. Not all Jews are as successful as they were, even though success, I'm not putting a moral judgment on that, but that's what they told their mind they wanted to do, and that's what they did. Let's go on to the next personality, and that is the C personality. That is the perfect melancholy. And for the C letter, how you would remember what that is, the C is they like control, or to be in control, and this is a different kind of control than the D personality. This is the kind of the micromanagement control type, when I say that they like control. And so often they're critical, where they judge life critically, and they judge other people critically. If this person was a animal, the animal, we would say, is beaver. They're very busy, they're very detail-oriented, and have you ever seen a beaver dam, how they build a very unique piece by piece, and it holds millions of tons of water, and they are able to do that and build it, and you go, he didn't have a crane, he didn't have a bulldozer, and this beaver can do that, and he gets it done, but because they pay attention to the details. They are very task-oriented. They are not people-oriented in any sense. In fact, they don't really play well with other people on most things. That's a weakness they have if they're a very high member of that personality. They are workers, though, but they like to work alone. They don't really like to work with other people, especially if the other people have any ineptness about them. These people, if they're a high member of this personality, would seldom smile. They would have this kind of this pensive look, you know, and they would be thinking of their own things, but the world around them is not of terribly great interest to them. They would not walk so determined like a D personality. They would more be tentative, and, you know, they'd be thinking hard, and they're more scattered in their thoughts than a D. They are less purposeful, but still, they get a lot done because they think so hard about things. With money, often they hoard money, or they pay no attention to it. So they're kind of like on both ends of this. They either pay too much attention to it, or they pay no attention to it. And they seldom come to the middle and go, okay, money is a tool, and we have to use it as a tool, and it's not to be either hoarded or just ignored. Often in their health things, especially with young women with this, it is quite common that I have seen that these young women that are high C's, that they would have anorexia or bulimia. Seldom are these people fat. That's just not in their personality. They would want to control that part of their life to eat so that they would not be overweight, and they might be very critical of other people who do those types of things. Of the biblical people, the prophets. Think about all the prophets. They were very kind of pessimistic in their outlook. They weren't really people. They just had to say what they said, but they didn't say it with great as much forcefulness as they as like Paul did. But they got their point across, and then they went off by themselves to live in their own misery, which is what that's what prophet those prophets were like. And they say that Aaron and Moses also, I don't see that as much, but obviously when Moses was putting together the temple, I can see that being very much that personality because they had to pay attention to the very details, and Aaron had to be very detailed to be the priest in that temple. And then also Queen Esther. What they do in life, the scientists of this world, the accountants, brain surgeons, often artists, painters, and I mean painters of great renown, the Da Vinci's, the Van Goghs, and those type, and the geniuses of this world, the Albert Einsteins, those type of people are this personality. So don't get down on yourself for being this person because they have generally great inherent genius in them, but they are kind of people that are to themselves and have a hard time necessarily explaining themselves to the world. In their weaknesses, they are often resentful. Because they have rules, and their rules are not really told to anybody. They're not spoken. They're not written down. Though they might be, as Nils would say, they might be rules of grammar, right? You know, they have rules, and they know the rules, and they think other people should follow those rules. They aren't going to tell you what they are, but they will criticize you for not doing what they think is the rule or the law about this certain situation in their life. They become bitter when other people don't follow those rules that they have for themselves. As I said, they don't always work well with others unless they work very hard to do that. They especially don't like to work with other people who don't obey the rules. And you can imagine that an I would care less about the rules. You know, and a D almost thinks that the rules are there to be broken. So they would struggle working with both of those personalities. All right? These people do not necessarily like put themselves up to public ridicule as the D's and the I's do. These people would prefer, you know, they want to be known, but not, they don't like to take the criticism that goes with it. That would be a depressing thing to them, you know. They want to hear maybe the good things, but don't tell them the bad things about themselves. Let's go on to the S. The S is the stable person, steady, serene. That's another name for them. If they were an animal, they would be called a golden retriever dog. That's because they're like man's best friend and would stand there and they would take abuse, but they would be man's best friend. So that's why they're called them. This group is also very, very much less verbal. They're willing to listen to other people talk, but they just don't get around to telling you much about themselves unless you ask. They're behind the scenes and they don't want to be out in front. These are generally also non-worker people, unless something else drives them, because they're just, you know, life is kind of whatever comes what may. And so you don't have to be hard-driven to get anything accomplished, so a lot of times they don't like to work either. I have this vision of an older lady sitting, a very overweight older lady sitting in a chair with a dog in her lap and somebody catering to her, and I very much, that's the picture I have of this personality, which is, I'm not saying that's a good one, but that's what I picture that as that person. They do work well in a group because they'll take orders and they'll go carry out other people's orders pretty well. When they walk down the street, generally, they're just kind of floating and not thinking about anything. They aren't driven, they aren't centered, they aren't thinking deep thoughts, they're just kind of blank. They're kind of happy, you know, they aren't smiling and they aren't sad, but they just aren't anything. They're just kind of, if they were to be a note in a song, you know, the whole song would be just a C note. It wouldn't change notes very much because their lives are pretty stable. Kind of boring sometimes, very boring. When it comes to money, they are generally very safe with money. Very safe. Sometimes to the point of hoarding also. When it comes to biblical characters, Abraham more, I see how the reason they say he is that personality because he was willing to do what God said, go wherever God said, and they also that he was willing to lie twice about his wife being his sister because he didn't want to get in trouble. And yes, he don't like being in trouble. And lying comes very easy to them. And so they will try to bail themselves out by getting themselves in deeper water, really, by telling a lie. Martha also was an S. And she was because she was head of this household and she wanted other people to live up to her standards of what she was doing. If she was busy, she wanted somebody else to be busy with her. She wanted Mary to be busy also working in the house and serving Jesus. And Jesus said, no, no, Mary can sit at my feet, and that's okay. So he called Martha on that. When it comes to things that they do in life, they're tremendously good diplomats. They can see the both sides of every issue. They try to bring people together. They try to keep the peace, sometimes to the detriment of themselves. But they will try to make everybody in the family happy, and they will not be happy because of all this. They're in trying to please everybody. They don't please themselves. They are the arbitrators. They're good administrators because they deal with problems, and in bringing people together, they are good at that. When it comes to their weaknesses, often as children, they're very shy. You know, when you're trying to tell Johnny to say hello, you know, he's clinging to your leg, and you want to turn around and say, no, they don't want to turn around, and they don't want to talk to people, and they're just very shy. They're the wallflowers as they are as adolescents. They have a hard time, okay, we have to talk to people, we have to hold a reasonable conversation, but they don't like to do that either. As adults, sometimes they just become couch potatoes, and that's why I said I had that vision of the lady sitting with the dog on her lap. Often they don't know anything about a situation. They don't care. They don't want to know. You know, just it doesn't. If they knew what was going on in the world, it would rock their life and rock their boat, and they want their boat to float just merrily down the stream. To be quite negative about this personally, they can be even slovenly. They don't even care about their looks. They so don't care about, you know, taking care of things. So they can be often unkempt. As a parent, often they're indifferent because dealing with kids takes a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of attention, and they don't want to put that into being a parent. They do not like being a public person. They'll be the second or third behind a public person, but they don't want to be out in front making the decisions and taking the criticism. Okay, and they are very compromising, as I talked about for Abraham. We're going to talk about how these personalities are within the same person and then also how you deal with them among couples. Let's first talk about if you are, and I'm going to use, whatever term I use will be the first personality is the highest. Let's say you have a 20 and you're a 20 and an I, and then let's say your D was 10. So I would call you an IB. That means those are your two highest in that order, and the other two would not figure much into your personality. I know it talks in here, if you read the back, that often people have three personalities. The second and third are very much the same, but let's just assume now that you have the two highest. The first personality is the one, the highest number of personalities is the personality that you would live in every day. Consider that like your wash and wear. Every day you're in that personality. The second personality is the personality you flip into when you're under stress, when the first personality is not working, when you just need a different tactic than what you normally do, and so you flip into that second personality to accomplish what needs to get accomplished. So that's why those two personalities, that's the two that you know the best how to accomplish life. All right, so if you are, let's go first, as an IV, what would they act like? Let's say if you were going to the market, what would an I do? Talk, and buy. Probably. The I would probably be there to have a lot of fun. They would finally have to get down to details, right? You know, they'd probably have fun for part of it, and then they're going, okay, I have to really accomplish something here. I am a D. And I want to accomplish it. So then they'd get focused, and then they'd buy their things and get their work done. But they would flip back and forth between those personalities. They would be good at haggling, and they would be good at befriending. They would learn that person's name, and the next time they came back to the market, they would know. They would call every. They may call them by name. It depends. Not all of them have good memories for names. Some of them are lousy with names. But if they make a concerted effort with their D, especially, they would learn to know the names. What about an IS? This person we think is very good, especially with children. You know, they would be the teacher type that would make it fun, but the S, they would get upset if the child did something, you know, so they would be making it fun, but not, but still creating a very safe environment for someone to learn in, and this would be good for that personality. Now, let's go to IC. Now, they say that this is, it's technically an unnatural personality. That's because they're different, but I don't see that as an unnatural pairing at all.
And I wants to have fun, wants to have a good time, wants to influence people. But when it gets to what we call crunch time, when all of a sudden something has to get done, then they're able to focus on very specific details. And that literally is built into us because I'm an IC. Maybe not natural, it's perfect. But it's built in that when it has to, that then you can focus on those little details to get things done because you have your orders in a row. Let me give you an example because I work in an emergency room. I'm probably the most fun doctor to work with in the emergency room because I like to make it all fun. And even if you're coming in with chest pain and you're close to dying, it might be fun for us. But when we have to do certain things, the nurses can always tell. All of a sudden, they will know that my whole demeanor changes. And if I even do something, because they're so used to me laughing and having a good time, if I go, let's get to work. They know immediately I've gone into my C mode, and we all have certain things we are going to do until we're out of this mess, whatever that takes. When she first goes through them, she just does one, and we all go, oh, my goodness, if that's all I am, I'm in big trouble. It doesn't matter which one you are.
Yeah.
Because you have enough weaknesses to make any of your strengths almost canceled out, and you go, my life is over. But the fact is that that second one actually oftentimes fills in the holes and the weaknesses of the first one if you will allow it to. Okay. Yes, and I can be nuts and off the wall and want to do things. But when I allow my C to take control, it keeps my I from doing all the stupid things that an I wants to do. You see what I mean? And as you guys look at these more and study them more, you're going to see that, yeah, you've got a primary one, and then you've got the second one, and some of them are close, and that's okay. And still, take the top number as the number one, the second number is the number two. And you've actually got other things built into there. No one is just one of these four. You couldn't survive in this world if you were. So don't be thinking in those terms. But what you're going to want to be thinking is, what strengths do you have out of your top two? What weaknesses? Do they help you out? Or if they don't, and an IC doesn't have everything covered, can another personality then help fill in the holes? And we'll talk about that in a bit. But in all honesty, for me, that's where Rena's personality is so different that she really fills in a lot of my holes. Took me 15 years to learn that, but that's what she does. So,
we'll go through these quickly. If you were a high choleric, a D, and you were, again, except an IV, you were a DI, you were highest in the D and then the I, this would also be a good salesman person, but he would probably be head. He or she would be head of the salesman or head of something because they wanted to be in charge. The DC. This one is also very good at details, would be good. Definitely a person that would get details done, but they would be quite a critical person as criticism to other people. They would be, there's nothing to modulate their criticism of other people. They don't have a lot of people skills in the D or the C, so they would really give it to you with both double barrels to your head. So it would be a struggle sometimes to deal with the D, C. Again, they say like the DS is a conflicted personality. I know several of them. I don't know that they're terribly conflicted. I imagine the part they think is conflicted is the strongness of the D and the reticence, the holding back of the S, but I see that they can work together in a person also. If they were a C personality, so controlling, critical, sort of, and then a D, this person also would want to be the head of something, but it would have to be very, everything would have to be perfect in the process. So probably a head of an accounting office or something like that. A C personality with an S very likely would be an under professor. Somebody wouldn't necessarily be the, you know, top person in his job, but he could be an under professor and want to teach people that way. They say that a CI is unnatural. Again, I don't necessarily always, I've seen this work out in people where the C personality is good for getting the details done, but to get life done, they often flip into their I personality, and then they are able to relate to other people, and they get family life done well.
Why would that be much more unnatural than an IC? It makes complete sense to me why they say it's unnatural. Because I'm an IC. A CI? Uh-uh. If your primary personality is a C, so you've got all these rules already, and a C, trust me, has a rule for everything. Now to be an I, you have to break your own rules. And that's far different than being an I and going, okay, all this goofing off didn't work. Now we have to start, and we're going to follow these simple rules, but only because that's what it's going to take to get through this heart attack, and then I can go back to being an I. But a C, that's not comprehensible that then you could switch from having all those rules that rule your life, and all of a sudden go, ah, I don't care what. No, you can't. Your brain can't do that.
To expound more on what he said, yes, to know yourself is one thing. To know your spouse is great. Then to understand your children, but on a day-to-day life thing, to get to know other people, and you will, as you read and understand more about these personalities, it will come as second nature to you. Within a minute or two of talking to someone, you'll go, yes, this person is that personality, and that's probably kind of what's important to them. And so you know a little bit better how to relate to them. You know, whether the situation has to be fun, whether it has to fun like an I, direct like a D, or whether it has to be very factual, like a C would want it to be, or if they just want it to be relaxed, like an S. You know, you relate to different people differently. Well, let's finish up with the S and the phlegmatic. They say that an SD is unnatural, and that I see, as he describes, the CI as being quite unnatural. I see an SD having a harder time because an S is wants to be laid back and not put up to criticism, but the D wants to be in charge, and so I see that as quite an unnatural personality. But some people come up with it nonetheless. The SI personality, I could see an SI also being a very good teacher because they make things calm and laid back, but they make it fun. Or they're the good mothers of the world, too. You know, they are able to relate and make joy, make stuff fun to keep life together. The SC personality is an interesting personality. These are people that are often quite fearful, often codependent. And they would be, you know, so if someone else is being an alcoholic, the codependent wife, who is the SC, would not confront them. They would not want to change anything. They just kind of go along with a very horrible situation and stay in the same bad situation. They don't have the idea to change it, unfortunately. You know, they will go along with the worst. And a lot of times they become very fearful in what life has for them. They can't see a way out of any tough situations. The question, I had somebody ask me this question, and I thought about it, and they said, which personality would be more likely to be using drugs or alcohol? And as I thought about it, you know, I really think all of them have about an equal chance. All personalities have weaknesses. Everybody would have a reason to go to the bottle or go to drugs, so I think those would all be equal. And somebody also asked me what personality I thought was easiest to bring to Christ, and I said, they're all difficult. The Bible is written for all personalities. None of them are easy, you know. All of them have something to overcome to allow them to see what Christ did for them. I also had somebody ask me, they said, well, then which person, kind of person is the biggest asset to Christianity? And I'm going, look at the Bible. All of them. All of them have their place, in their place, in their time. God used every one of them. So God can use any of our personalities to do that. Bill, why don't you come up and let's talk about more about personalities, if dealing with a spouse in the different personalities.
One of the reasons why you want to learn this, and we're going to give you some examples, and we'll use ourselves, and I'll give you some other examples, is to understand how to relate. Because you see, two things. You remember, there's no personality better than another one. You were born with a personality. God enthused you with a personality, what it is. He made me an IC. I don't know why, he just did. Not one better than the other. So people got to get over that. The other thing, though, is to understand that you don't get to change your personality. If you're an I, you're an I. If you're a D, you're a D. Just the best thing you can do is learn to accept that and then go from there. Learn to see what are your strengths and how you can use them. What are your weaknesses? What do you got to watch out for? Remember, I said, I don't care how long you do whatever you do, you have to watch out for that can bring you down. And we all have something that can bring us down. So what do you got to watch out for? You know, and then learn that in your spouse. Now, when you say, does this get easy after a while? I don't have to see Gloria's sheet. I know exactly what he is. I don't have to see Zipporah's sheet. I know what she is, and I know I'm right. I'll bet you $50 to a dime. I don't have to see Christine's sheet. I've talked to her enough. I know what she is. You will learn that very quickly. You just talk to them, and you know what they are. And why is that important? Let me give you an example. Why Rena says that we used to fight all the time. One, I was in medical school. I was getting my college paid for by the Army. I'd been in the military before, so I got some money from that, and also got some scholarship money. So when we were in school, and she was working as a nurse, when we were in school, it was one of our richest times in our whole life. We had money to spend. I thought, so I'm an I. One day, I look in the paper, and it says pianos. Now, I've had 2 years of piano in my life.
I'm an S.
And one day, I look in the paper, and they're having these piano demonstrations, it says, at the local mall. I happen to not be working that Sunday afternoon, and I said, babe, let's go look at the pianos. She goes, okay.
And I was literal. I said, we're going to look.
That's all she thought we were going to do. And in fact, that's all I thought we were going to do. But we got there, and I'm walking up and down the line of pianos, and all of a sudden, I'm playing on this one, and I'm going, why, we can buy that today and take it home and have it. That's all I said.
He doesn't either.
I said, we're going to buy this piano for $1,000. And she goes, we are? And I went, you betcha. And we did. Now, let's understand a couple things. I was being a complete I and did not know my weaknesses at that time. She was being an S. Remember, the primary thing on an S is a peacemaker.
And steady.
Put in another way. S's make decisions very slowly. But if you keep harping at an S, they have to say yes. Their personality ultimately has to give in. If you're an S and I harp on you long enough, you will give in to me.
Unwillingly, okay. And unwittingly, but you will.
And you may say yes. Doesn't mean it's yes in your heart, but you may say yes. So what could she? I didn't know that either about her then, but she had no choice. She had to say yes because I said, I'm going to buy this piano. So she goes, yes. However, in her heart, she's going, are you out of your mind? And she wasn't happy. Now, here's the thing I'll tell you about an S. Just like remember last night I said, when you're at the top of the hormone thing, don't take advantage of ladies for that. Guys, if you're married to an S, let me tell you something. An S will say yes for a long, long time. But when everything they store inside comes out, the last place you want to be is in front of an S. Give you an example. We were driving. I've got the car going 70 miles an hour on the interstate, and I'm just cruising down the road. And I said something that all of a sudden made Rena snap. And as soon as she snapped, I knew it. I mean to tell you what, it was just a...
I seriously thought that I would be better off to jump out of the car at 70 miles an hour. I debated it versus staying where I was. I'm going to die. We have been together 35 years. In that 35 years, only 3 times has she snapped. That was the last one.
Yep.
Before that, she snapped along because I wasn't very smart. Now I try not to build that all up. Because let me tell you what. You may think S's are just the nicest, kindest, mildest, meekest little people, but when they go off, it's the worst you'll ever see.
Okay.
That's just the way it is. So I had to learn that just because she says yes doesn't mean that she means yes. You see what I'm saying? And so what I learned is on any big decision to start way ahead of time. Because what does an I want to do? And I wants to influence you. So if I go, babe, we need to do this. And that, and she goes, what for? Well, and I just immediately thinks of another way around to explain how maybe she's dense. Maybe she couldn't get it. What it really means, I didn't do a good enough job explaining it. I go, well, have you ever thought about this? And we got to do that. And that's why it's a good idea. And she goes, it still don't make sense to me. Do we quit? Not a chance. And I is never deterred. We keep going and going and going until they finally go, fine. Do you really think that means fine? No. But you go ahead and do it anyway then because she said fine, didn't she? Couple of things with that. Now, it's not just personality, but well, I have to think about it because I'd forget it otherwise. We had to learn something else. Eyes are very verbal, as you know.
Eyes and D's are verbal.
She's not nearly as verbal as that. In a word argument, we've both accepted the fact that she has zero chance of winning. Because I could be saying something this sentence and thinking 4 sentences ahead on how I'm going to twist her so that all of a sudden, bam, she has said what she didn't want to say. And I'll say, you just said that. So if that's what you mean, then it's all over. She's lost the argument. But the fact is I used my verbal skills to beat her in that, and that's just as much taking advantage of an S or someone with lesser skills as any of the other things we've talked about. What does that do for security? If I'm willing to beat her in an argument by using my verbal skills, so what do I have to do now? If we're going to have a serious discussion.
Let's also take this, what does that do to ego? If the wife is the I and the husband is the S, it shoots it because they've argued them into the ground and they don't want to discuss it.
So what I do now, if it's a serious discussion, I say, babe, because she's very good if she takes her time and thinks her thoughts through and writes them down, write them all out. And I'll sit at the table and go, say what you want to say. And that way, I don't interrupt her, I don't twist her around, I let her say what she wants to say, how she wants to say it. Before I start. Because if we just do a back and forth verbal thing, it's all over for her. That's one thing with an IS. You have to be careful and know that you can't take advantage of it. C's have rules. Oh boy, do they have rules. Let me give you an example on how to pull a chain.
Yes.
This is the thing. You want to learn people's personalities so that you can deal with them effectively.
Not exasperate them.
Not exasperate them, not beat them, but just deal with them. If I'm dealing with a D, I'm sitting there going, okay, what's the worst thing I can do to a D to make a D immediately mad at me? If any of you here are D's and I want to make you mad at me, I know how I can do that. How do you jerk a D's chain just like that? Just boom, you got them. Take away control. And they are beside themselves. They just can't stand it. And so if you deliberately do that, you have them. That's a D. An I, let an I do his thing. Like, for instance, let me do my thing here. And then when I get all done, go, that didn't make any sense at all. And I go, I just did everything I can do.
You
and
just
makes
put
no
a dagger
sense.
In his heart if you say that.
It's like, an I wants to be understood. They want to influence you. You remove their ability to influence you in anything,
and an eye, as ways to take the fun away out of it, and an eye is gone. And
yeah.
Yes?
And last night you made it so much fun. Had you said last night would have been no fun, he would have been really stabbed in the heart.
I mean, not just for what you're just messing with me now. But if you'd have done that last night, oh, that would have been bad. And yes, we all know that one pretty easily. Just rock the boat. Just go. When they expect it to be just like this, just a big old chink in it, and that's is just gone. See? Break their rules on purpose and let them know that you know that they had the rule and you broke it. I'm going to give you an example. I have a sister who is a C. Sweetheart, I love Giants to death, but she's a C. She just is. And her brother, her husband, my brother-in-law, Roger, is an S. Just a complete F. So Roger and I were visiting about this many, many years ago. And I says, Roger, I says, let me explain Giants to you. He goes, okay. I says, let's say that I tell Joyce I'm going to call her at 8 o'clock to make it that she asked me, am I going to go with them or something, or am I not? And I said, Joyce, I'll let you know at 8 o'clock. To my sister Joyce, that means 8 o'clock. That is not Africa Standard Time, whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock. Okay? And so I called Joyce at 8:10 to give her my answer. Now, the answer doesn't matter to her. But the fact that I called 10 minutes late, and when I get done, I go, oh, yeah, I'm just messing around here with Rena. When I knew I needed to call you, but, yeah, I finally got around to it. I said, Joyce won't say anything to me, will she, Rod? He goes, no. But I said, as soon as she hangs up the telephone, she will look at you and go, I cannot believe Bill did that to me again. He knew he was supposed to call by 8 o'clock, and he did it on purpose. And Roger just, we were driving on the road, he almost went off the road. He goes, how did you know that? That's exactly what she does. I said, she's a C. You break a C's rule, and they are just gone. Now, that's if you want to be ugly. But the point is then so learn their personalities and do just that. Don't do that. That's how, with each of these personalities, you start to do things differently. And you do learn to treat personalities differently. I always use that as an example of three kids. They all have different personalities. One personality, my oldest son is an S. There's no doubt Jimmy's an S. Second, my daughter, she doesn't want to be, but Megan's a D. It's just what she is. And Matt, that he was a C. So, here we are. I got three kids. I've got an S, a D, and a C. And I want them, they all have, yeah, we're rich Americans. We were living in a room, in a house there where they all had their own bedroom. And I wanted them all to clean up their rooms. Now, if I go to all three of my kids and go, okay, I expect to have your rooms cleaned up by 9 o'clock, how successful am I going to be?
No.
Probably not.
Okay.
Because for my S oldest, I haven't put anything in there that would go, if you don't get this done, life will go worse, and so he's just steady as a girl, so he can put that off. For my daughter,
S's are procrastinators.
They are big procrastinators.
So
he ain't going to do it. If I say I expect it done by 9 o'clock, my daughter may go ahead and do that. My son, who's a C, will consider that he's done it, because his rule's going to be, that means that he wanted the socks in the clothes basket. So at 9 o'clock, I go and check their rooms. And Jimmy's, nothing's happened. Okay? I've lost there. Megan's, yeah, we'll say that in that particular case, because I was pretty direct, she got it done. Matthew, I go down, and sure enough, the toys are all around, everything else is all strewn around, but the socks are in the basket. I say, Matt, why didn't you clean up your room? He says, what do you mean? I cleaned up my room. I put my socks in the basket. I cleaned up my room. If that's his rule for a cleaned up room, he thinks he did it. And so for Matt, I have to go, Matt, I want all the toys put away, all the clothes picked up, the bed made, and the floor vacuumed. Do you understand that? Yes. Not a problem. He understands Deuteronomy. Now I'm going to get those four things done. For those that weren't here last night, Deuteronomy with my kids is, Deuteronomy, choose life, choose death. I used to look at it and say, which one do you want? I can deliver both. And they all knew that I could and would. So it was like, you want to live, you want to die.
So, he understood that. So if I told him specifically as a C, I'd get his room cleaned up. Jimmy, I wouldn't tell him clean your room up. I'd say, Jimmy, we need your room cleaned up by 9 o'clock. If it's not cleaned up by 9 o'clock, Mama's going to be unhappy. If Mama's unhappy, you know what happens to me. I immediately go into choose life, choose death mode. So I'd recommend you get your room cleaned up. And because he doesn't want to have the boat rocked, because now Mama will be unhappy and he loves his mom, he's going to go clean up his room. The point is that in the case, I wanted the same result out of all three, yet if you just use one approach, I'm for sure going to fail on two, and if I use the wrong approach, I'm going to fail on all three. And yet we think, and see, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge why we have to think outside ourselves. Just like I have to always think of Verena and put myself at the bottom, same thing is true of personalities when you're dealing with people. You have to think outside yourself because, you see, I believe everything in life ought to function as an I thinks it ought to function. Because that's how I'm made. See, the good and the bad, it's just that's how I'm made. I know she's not an I. And so she doesn't look at everything in the world operating the way an I should do it. She looks at it based on the way her personality says. Probably has a couple of little smidgens of C in it, if I had to miss my guess. The point is that we look at how life ought to be through our own eyes and our own personality. And if we want to be successful in dealing with people, we have to get away from that and understand that they won't think like I do. And I have to start to at least understand, even if it doesn't make sense to me, I have to know how they think. Let me explain. Rena will never think like an I. It would be the greatest, most best thing in the world, but she won't. She no more could think like an I than the stone in the street. She is not an I. But she understands, or at least she accepts and knows how I operate now. And so she deals with me knowing how that is, versus saying, Bill, you have to act like an S to be a reasonable human being. Because she knows that I can't be an S. Just like she can't be an I. And so when I deal with Rena, I have to go, okay, an I takes me about 5 seconds to make a decision. An S, about 3 months. All right. It's not good or bad. I don't let it get me upset. You have to get so good at this. Remember when I knew that I could browbeat her into saying yes, whether she wanted to or not? Now, I'm so good. I know when she says yes, if it really means yes or not. That's why she hasn't exploded in years. Because I don't browbeat her to say yes. And Rena has learned that if she goes, Bill, I'm not sure that quite rings true with me yet. I don't take that as an insult. That's really her really good way of saying, Bill, are you out of your mind? I think you're absolutely not. She's actually proven to be pretty good. She saved me from myself a lot in the last 10 years. I'll go, well, I better think about this some more. Because I must have missed something. But by the same token, sometimes, you know, if we just depended upon the yes, we'd never do anything fun or exciting. And so sometimes they go, we're going to do this, you know. I mean, you have to start to learn those personalities.
And since we're talking about making decisions, let's talk a little bit about how do Ds make decisions? What is the speed that a D would make a decision at? Right away? Pretty quickly? What things would they have to do to make that decision? It has to be their own idea, and if it's not their own idea, you're the spouse and you want them to make that decision. You have to find a way to make them think that what you want is what they want. And you have to get skillful. You have to get a doctorate degree in knowing that other person and how to deal with them and how to incorporate your ideas into this life because they will make this decision in that way. Let's talk about a C personality. How does a C personality make a decision? They have a time frame to do it in. What generally has to happen before they make this decision? More than just time.
They need to know everything.
Yes. Yes. Not just the highlights. We have to know the fine print. And we have to know, ad infinitum. about whatever. If you're going to make a purchase of more than 1,000 euros, oh my gosh, you know, you got to really know what you're going to buy, because that's going to take a lot of thought. And they won't make that decision until they know those details. And they'll drive, if the other person is not a detail, they're married to an eye, and the C goes, well, let me tell you about all these details. I mean, this eye will just go, oh, I'm going to slit my throat. I can't listen to another detail. Please don't make me listen to it. But that's what you have to do with the interplay of these different personalities, what you'll have to do in decision-making. And what is marriage? Marriage is decision-making every day.
Let's look at a couple of special situations.
I am thrilled by the verse, you know, that all things are possible to him that believe. Sometimes we look at some situations and we go, can that really work? Let's say you're a D woman, so you know you want to be boss. But what did I say last night? It's extremely difficult. And yet, if you never are, you cannot build up your ego to the point the way you should, and there's going to be problems. So for those ladies that are D's and what their husbands have, how do they deal with that? First of all, they have to understand that they're going to have to work very, very hard at learning not to always just jump to a snap decision, this is the way it's got to be. Well, that's called cortisol up, testosterone down. If you expect them to be good to you, you're out of your mind. On the other hand, to ask a D female never to make a decision is to ask her to go crazy. Raina knows that. I thought I did pretty good tonight. I sat there for 30 minutes and didn't even get out of the chair.
You're doing good.
But I thought about it more than once. And that's true. I'm going, no, she's doing fine. Let her go. No, just let her go. Because an eye can't help themselves. I've gone to Sunday school classes where I've said, just for once, I am going to shut up the entire hour. It is not possible. I would sit there, I'd be sitting there biting my tongue, and the guy would finally go, okay, you know, let it out, you know, because everybody there would know that I had just reached a point where I had to say something, because that's just what it is. And you see, just like there's people I wish I could get rid of theirs, there's sometimes I go, could you just cut this eye out of me and make me something different? Because this drives me crazy. There are times when I wish I could keep my mouth shut, because, but I can't. It just goes crazy. So to ask a D, if you're a woman, never be a D, would drive you completely insane. You cannot do that. I never really figured this out until about 3 or 4 years ago, about 2 years before my mother died. She was 91 when she died. I had the opportunity to go up to my oldest sister, and it was just my oldest sister and I and my mom. Now, my mom was like 89 years old, but still, her mind was great. And we were looking at some pictures of a time in her life from 18 to 24 before she married my father that I had never seen in my entire life. I'm looking at some of these and I'm going, Mom, who's this stud here? And it was some boy that she really liked, but Mom was a Catholic and he was a Lutheran, so that never happened. But you could tell him at 89 that she went, I wonder what that would have been like. But then we started looking at other pictures, and I saw a side of my mother that in all my life with her, up to that time was what, about 55 years with her, I had never, ever seen. And as I went through those pictures, it dawned on me that my mother, when she was 18 to 23, was an I. And after she got married, somehow buried that down, that she was never an I again. And my mother was unhappy most of her life, which is sad. She was an extremely talented lady, very smart. Very smart. Back then, if you were too smart, you just skipped a grade. Yeah, they thought about skipping my mom 2 grades. Very smart. Very good at everything she did. But she made herself into a C. And I looked at those pictures and I'm going, that's not who my mother was born to be. It can be done. God didn't make you that way. You do not want to do that. If you were to completely try and kill that D, it would make you into something that you were never born to be. Now, as I understand, you two are going to get married. He has to be the boss. If this happens, he has to be the boss.
You have to work it out together. But you have to give that D a chance to be a D at times, and you have to do it on purpose. You've got to work that out, because if it never happens, you two will never survive. I'm just being honest. Two friends of ours, they were both D's. They married two S guys. The one girl, they have two boys, and that's all that he wants. She decides she wants another child. He says, it ain't happening. She goes, yes, it is. She ended up going off of her birth control without telling him so she could get pregnant and says, take that, I have another child. They're still together, Dion. Really think they have a lot of fun in their marriage? No, because she destroyed his ego. And an S won't stand up to a D. So if you're a D woman, I'm telling you, an I or a D, you can marry them.
You can't marry an S or a C. Not if they're a strong S or a C.
You'll run over them and it'll just be a disaster. And in all of these combinations, you know, I think you're starting to get the idea of how you can just start to figure out, okay, what am I? What are they?
How do we look at each other's strengths and things? Rena knows,
and this goes back to ego and security.
See, back then, how secure did you think she felt when she had this eye flutter brain that would just go off and do weird things? And she goes, this is crazy.
You think she really felt secure at that time in life? Not likely. But deal with your personalities. Figure out what you are. And your spouse, when they look at those, can pretty much tell you what you are. They know all of your spots. They can, you know, and that's why we always will look. If we're dealing with a couple one-on-one, and the wife says she's, let's just say she says she's an IS,
and we'll just look at the guy and go, is that true or not?
And he'll either go, yeah or no. And if it's no, she lied to us because he knows what it is more than she does.
Once you understand how to put these little letters on it and stuff like that.